So what do we do? How do we create contact between the inside and the outside? Between prison and what prisoners call the free world. Prisoners see us as living in the free world. I don't know how free this world is, because it certainly isn't free for a lot of people who are out here. But at least we can take advantage of the fact that we have the ability to move around in ways that people who are inside don't. As a matter of fact, we can sort of think about the relationship as being the relationship between slaves and abolitionists. Now, because as a matter of fact, the prison system contains obvious vestiges of slavery. Right? The 13th Amendment abolished slavery for all except those who are being punished for committing a crime. So in a lot of ways, what we see in the penitentiary system in this country is the continuation of the system of slavery. And that is why many of us suggest that what we need during this period is a late 20th century abolitionist movement, as there was a 19th century abolitionist movement. You know, which doesn't mean that, you know, often I say abolitionist movement, abolish the prisons, and what are you going to do with all of those people who are inside? Well, you know, the question is not simply to tear down all of the walls, and I think most of them should be torn down. But the question is creating some new institutions that really will speak to the problems that people have who go to prison, you know, rather than this prison system which continues to reproduce the problems, you know, for which people are sent to prison. One set of institutions consists of educational institutions. It costs much more to send someone to prison than it does to college or university. And many of those people who are now in prison would do well in an institution like this, would do better than a lot of the existing students. But of course, you know, that's the kind of that the abolitionist strategy is one that is a protracted strategy down the line. What can we do now? I want to suggest that those of you who are students here and faculty, you know, think about, you know, ways of creating lines of communication between prisoners and students. As a matter of fact, that is the kind of coalitional formation that I think has an enormous amount of potential during this period. Prisoners are generally considered as people who have no agency. And if we talk about doing work around prisons, it's often with a missionary kind of posture, that we want to save these poor souls. We don't think about prisoners as human beings who have a right to participate in the efforts that perhaps will lead to change. So I want to suggest the possibility of classes. I used to teach a class on incarcerated women at San Francisco State University. And I took a number of the students from San Francisco State into the San Francisco County Jail, because I taught a class at the San Francisco County Jail as well. And one would think that, okay, you know, perhaps the students should teach the prisoners, but I decided to reverse it. I decided that the first phase would be for the students to learn from the prisoners. So the prisoners were positioned as the teachers, and they taught the students about that institution, what went on there, what the problems were. And then they got to choose how they felt the students could be effective, what skills the students had that they might use. And that worked out, you know, very well. I want to suggest that, you know, those kinds of connections can be, you know, easily established if people simply take the initiative to do them. Artists can attempt to, you know, go into jails and prisons and teach classes, performing artists, visual artists. You know, some of you might want to go in and teach a general education course. What we need to do, since they won't let the majority of the people who are in out, we need to go knocking on the doors. No, we need to go knocking on the doors. We have to argue for a relationship, for communications between the free world and the unfree world.